the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this series, Best Missionary Experiences from Our Priests and Exorcists, we want to share with you the best mystical and non-mystical experiences of each of our priests that they had in many parts of the world. The intention of this video is to encourage laypersons and religious, especially contemplatives, to be missionaries. Never be suspicious of the validity and efficacy of your vocation. Many of our priests and exorcists feel supported by the prayers of many missionaries. Our priest says, "Throughout my missionary life in the world, I have been able to accumulate a lot of experience in relation to souls. I have been able to feel the hunger and thirst for God in many humble and poor people for whom the priest is truly an envoy of God. And I have seen their faces tanned by the sun and the air of the mountains, and I have seen them suffer and die. But I have also seen them pray with faith and trust in God, as I have not seen so palpably in other places where I've been able to live. Their lives of work and sacrifice have been for me a better school than all the theology schools in the world to live my vow of poverty. I have learned a lot from them, perhaps more than I have taught them. Those poor peasants, catechists, brothers of the apostolate, gave me theology lessons without pretty words, but with their own strong and robust life of faith." Of course, I'm thinking about the best, because the missionary must also suffer when he sees the indifference of other sheep. Some reject him because he invites them to give up their vices. Others shun him out of fear, due to their ignorance and poverty. Others may have no interest in the things of God and want to live their life in their own way. But the priest feels himself father of all, and for all he must pray and entrust them in the daily Mass. Nor are they lacking rapacious wolves that take their sheep to another fold and convert them to other sects because they are abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. It is sad but real that the lack of priests in those places far from civilization makes them easy prey to sects or vices. During my stay in the Andean Mountains, I had my residence in a town 1,490 miles or 2,400 meters above sea level. I could only go to many places once a year, usually for local celebrations, although I tried to go at other times when they were calmer and less concerned about the local party. In some places, when I arrived, it had been several years since a priest visited them. They were small towns and did not even have a chapel to go to pray. I thought, there is so much to do, so many people hungry for God, and I am a poor man with my time so limited, with such long distances, with roads full of mud. And I said to God, "Lord, I entrust my sheep to you. Take care of them, because I can't reach all of them." For this reason, I think of the great importance of the prayer of the contemplative missionaries. They can reach the most hidden places with their prayer and sacrifice. You have to pray a lot. The world needs God, and we cannot leave so many brothers and sisters who need us abandoned, without priests and without faith. On a mule or on horseback, rarely on foot, with or without a straw hat, and always dressed in my black Augustinian Recollects habit. In my luggage, I could not forget the rain poncho or the leather saddlebag in which I carried what I needed for Mass. Going up or down the huge mountains of the Andes, with cold or with heat, sometimes sweating, or in the rain, on muddy roads. Always accompanied by a catechist who guided me and helped me in any difficulty. Almost always whistling or singing, when the weather was good, to express my inner joy to the God of the universe who has created so many wonders of nature. When I came to a town, many would come out to greet us with joy. Normally, in almost all places, the arrival of the priest was on a holiday. At night, we would gather for Mass, and there, children, the elderly, men and women, even dogs and cats, all united, we sang praises to the Lord. I entrusted them and asked for them through the intercession of our Mother, the Virgin Mary, the Good Mother, to whom I always referred, and of course, in the company of angels, who are always everywhere. What joy does the missionary feel when he sees the joy and the smile on those faces of humble people who appreciate him and listen to him attentively? The next day, it was the day of baptisms, marriages, confessions, visits to the sick, and other errands before starting the road to another town, as there was no time to rest, since others were waiting and were already notified of my arrival, and so on for a week or a fortnight or a month. Finally, I came to my parish again and rested, and washed and could eat a little better. And again, after a month, I plan another visit to another town, because they asked for it, and there were many people thirsty for the word of God. But first, it was necessary to take physical and spiritual strength to be able to start again, because on the apostolic roads, they did not leave me in the sun or in the shade, and one did not even have time to pray. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger announcing peace, of the messenger of good news, who proclaims salvation and says to Zion, "Your God is King." Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. The best and most beautiful experiences of my priestly life have been the Masses. Many times, the celebration of Mass has been a true joy for me. I've celebrated Mass in cathedrals and beautiful churches, but the ones I remember most fondly are those celebrated in those little chapels or small thatched roof mud huts surrounded by children. When I celebrated them at night in the light of the lamps, they had a special flavor and an extraordinary mysticism before the attention of those present and the power of God which was present. There were days when it rained and the noise of the rain and the cold interfered a bit, but everything could be overcome by the joy of being together after so long. How many times when celebrating Mass, I invited the angels of those present and all the angels of the universe to join us in our celebration. It is beautiful to celebrate Mass surrounded by angels, even if they are invisible. The first Fridays were days of parochial feast. From all corners of the parish, sometimes from distances of 4 or 5 hours away, some 300 peasants would come to fulfill the promise, that is, to fulfill the Mass and communion of the first Fridays. These brothers were called the Brothers of the Apostolate. They were the most fervent and set an example of the Christian life. They arrived in town on the first Friday around noon and went to confession throughout the afternoon. At 7 p.m., Mass was taking place, well sung by them, and we all felt truly joyous. After Mass, everyone had dinner where everyone could, at the homes of friends in the town. And after dinner, a good group went to sleep in the parish on wooden planks. The rest were looking for a place in the houses of the town. But before going to sleep, the gathering took place, a conversation with the priest to tell him the latest news from the different places. The next day, back to Mass very early and then running home to start work. It was admirable to see them with what devotion they communicated, some barefoot, others in their poor sandals, many women with their children, but all with joy and faith. How many thanks have I given God in my life for having become a missionary? It was worth being born and dedicating myself to bring God to my brothers. Most of the time I have spent in the big cities. Here too, I have celebrated many Masses with immense joy. Perhaps the most intimate Masses have been those that I have celebrated alone in intimacy with Jesus. Sometimes weakness took my concentration off and I celebrated with effort. Other times I felt the Lord in a special way, like that Christmas night in 1998 when I was very ill. I had left the hospital 2 days ago, and while my brothers from the community celebrated Mass on Christmas Eve in two different places, I celebrated alone in the community chapel. I felt so weak and tiny that I offered my weakness to the Lord. What else could I offer Him besides my sins? I think that in terms of spiritual efficacy, it was one of the best of my life. Of course, I have enjoyed a lot at Masses on certain feast days, especially Holy Thursday and the feasts of Jesus and our Mother the Virgin Mary, which I've always tried to celebrate with special interest, surrounded by angels and saints, and praying for everyone, including the souls in purgatory. Only in the early days of my priestly life, I came to celebrate almost out of commitment and without faith or devotion, because I was losing faith due to my lack of personal prayer. Fortunately, that happened, and now I feel the greatness of the priestly vocation. And I do not forget that the Mass is the greatest thing that is celebrated every day on earth, and I try to celebrate it as if it were my only Mass or my last Mass. Mass is the center of my life every day. And every day I prepare a few minutes before celebrating. I go early to the sacristy. And after Mass, I take a few moments to be able to say to our sweet Jesus with all my heart, "Thank you, Lord, for being a priest and for this Mass that I have just celebrated." After Holy Mass, I have received my greatest joys when administering the sacrament of confession, especially when confessing people who had not gone to confession for 40 or 50 years. Many of these confessions have been an unforgettable experience for me. You feel immense joy when you hear, "It seems that a great weight has been lifted from my shoulders. I have rejuvenated 20 years. Thank you, Father." That is why sometimes I have thought, it would have been worth it to have been born, to have confessed this person, and then to have died. It would have been worth being a priest just for this. And what a joy to see those men smile with sincerity and from the bottom of their soul after years of sadness and carrying such a heavy load. Sometimes there were women who had miscarried several times and had not been able to live in peace for years. At other times, they were men who had lived in atheism for many years or returned to the Catholic Church after having wandered through various sects seeking the truth. Or simply, what was more frequent, people who had lived for years without being able to receive communion because they were cohabiting or married only for civil matters. What happiness for them to regularize their situation and marry in the church and be able to receive communion. I remember the case of that old man who, when going to give him the anointing of the sick, after going to confession, with the joy of forgiveness, told me through tears, "Father, the ignorance made me commit so many sins." This is how he explained the reasons for the sins of his youth. Nobody had guided him, and he had gone down the easy path of vice and bad life. Nor will I forget the case of some alcoholics, men or women who went to confession and entered groups of Alcoholics Anonymous and changed their lives. Specifically, I remember that husband who did not treat his wife well, and she came to talk to me because she wanted to divorce him. I was able to talk to both of them, and they went to a marriage encounter, and then they were married in the church, and he entered the parish group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and his life changed to the point of being one of the best leaders in the parish today. I only had to pray for them and trust in the mercy of God. There are people who say, "Why am I going to confess to a man who is more sinful than me?" Fortunately, it is Jesus who forgives and not the priest. The priest is only an instrument of God's forgiveness. If he is a sinner, God will judge him. But through confession, God can pour out abundant blessings into our lives that we may not otherwise receive. For this reason, I always recommend confession, at least every 15 days, and I try to have time to confess and help those who request it in spiritual direction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.